Hello and welcome to MLW Confusion. I'm your host, Rob Cameron, bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about Major League Wrestling and its television programming. Normally, this week we are kind of shifting our focus, got a commission to check out Global Syndicate Wrestling, and today's episode we are checking out Night 2 of their Global Festival. You can go through the site if you haven't, check out Anchor or wherever you get your podcasts, and check out Part 1, Night 1, if you haven't yet. If you have, great, you're ready to go, let's do it. Night 2. Starting off, we have the Dynasty coming out. They will be in tag team action tonight. Evidently, this will be the first time in Global Wrestling, Global Syndicate Wrestling, that we've seen both members of the Dynasty on the same team. Hammerstone and Richard Holiday, note that they both had wars the night before, and they had come out on top. They break the fourth wall, because Hammerstone really wants to be a babyface, and Richard Holiday kinda, but Hammer wants Holiday to be a babyface just for tonight only, using the terms babyface and trying to get a poll going whether Holiday should go full babyface, but he's going to need some training. He acknowledges that he's going to need some help, but he will follow Hammer's lead the best he can, despite Hammer, you know, being a, you know, a meat castle, has the peaks of Muscle Mountain, etc., etc., etc. So we will see how well that goes before the night is over. But before we get anywhere near there, we have our first match of the evening. It is a triple threat match between KZT, Jennai Kai, and Jordan Blade. Not familiar with any of these women, but evidently everybody's got some sort of martial arts belt. Black belt specifically, except for Blade, who is a blue belt. So what will this mean for her? I don't know. There's only one way to find out, and that's to keep watching. Kai is not endearing herself to start this match with anybody in the crowd, her competitors. She jawjacks, she shoves them, kicks for everybody, and it just really just kind of breaks down from there. Kai gets sent out of the way early because she's a jerk. Blade and KZT grapple about for a bit before we get a big double underhook on KZT. Kai and Blade then have a skirmish. KZT goes for an armbreaker and Kai interferes. We get a big Eye of the Hurricane by Kai, gets a two count, but KZT breaks the attempt, breaks the pinfall, because one fall to the finish, for those of you who aren't familiar with a triple threat match. Blade really starts pumping up at this point towards the end, bringing the power game as she's the largest competitor in this match. She takes out both competitors. The other folks try to team up on her, go for a suplex, but Blade is much too powerful, does a double suplex, follows that up with a double heel hook for the double submission. So this is just a regular DC Comics two-face match, double-double boil and trouble. But in the meanwhile, while this trouble's going on, Jordan Blade is your victor. A big win for her. Commentary puts her over pretty hard here at the end, noting that this is kind of a breakthrough victory for her. Our second match of the evening is Tyson Maddox taking on the Havana Pitbull, Ricky Reyes. I'm going to get beat for that one because he's been around for a long, long time and I should know better. I'm just going to blame it on the combination of terrible handwriting in my notes and the fact that he used to team with Rocky Romero as the Havana Pitbulls. Those are my excuses and I am going to stick to them. But never mind that. Look over there. We has match. There's a big extended feeling out part to start the match. Tyson Maddox and Reyes are both going for holds, exchanging holds, rolling out of them. Commentary really puts over the fact that Tyson is windless at this point. I also think it's interesting that they're going for the grapples and the hold exchange because Tyson's such a large and dynamic competitor. Especially compared to Reyes. Not that Reyes can't have some punch to him, but Maddox is just a big honking dude, big built dude. And he's trying to go hold for with Reyes. And I'm not sure, you know, how great of an idea that really is. But, you know, I'm not competing in this match. He is. And, you know, maybe this will work out for him. We'll find out here in a minute. But as I said, the exchange holds to go back and forth. Maddox takes some time to showboat, like whenever he kind of gets the advantage against Reyes, which I also think is a terrible idea because Reyes will kick the teeth out of your mouth. But again, you know, if it's working for him, let's just do it. Maddox does start to get riled up, gets some power moves, hits a big tilt-a-whirl slam for two, holds a vertical suplex for quite some time, gets a two count on that. Reyes, though, is having none of that, hits a big neck breaker to slow things down, lots of rest holds, joint manipulation, and whatnot. Maddox does try to mount a comeback, hitting a big drop kick, but eats another neck breaker for his efforts. He does make another comeback with a high crossbody, a big comeback sequence, and a sliding clothesline for two. Unfortunately, he misses the alley-oop splash, and evidently it's like a biz, like, ballin' kind of splash in the corner. Misses it, though, so I guess it doesn't matter what it's supposed to be if you can't hit it. This allows Reyes to kind of try to roll Maddox up. They actually go back and forth with the pinfalls, with Maddox holding his own and folding Reyes up to get the 1-2-3. There seemed to be some confusion over the finish, whether it was a full pinfall or not, but the ref counted it. The ref's word is law. Match is over. Maddox gets his first win in the company, and it's a big one. Ricky Reyes, you know, he's not a big name nowadays, but, you know, he's been around the block. He's a well-respected individual in the early days of Major League Wrestling, Ring of Honor, and then, of course, his probably most prominent role was in Lucha Underground for a handful of seasons. But, you know, the guy can go. He's worthy of that respect. And speaking of respect, we get some of that after the end of the match. We get a handshake and a hug between the competitors. So, big win for Tyson Maddox. You know, hopefully this is a start of some big, big things coming out of this match. He's got a good look to him and just needs to get some seasoning under his belt. You know, salt and garlic powder work wonders for these kinds of things. Oh, you know, we're not cooking? Not literally cooking, just figuratively? Cool. Okay. Never mind. We'll just move on then. Our third match of the evening is a number one contenders match featuring some of the big names in independent wrestling right now. Davey Richards versus Josh Alexander. For those of you not aware of this and why this isn't like, this is kind of a dream match. Davey Richards has kind of made his return to professional wrestling after a multiple year hiatus to kind of chase his dream as a doctor, medical personnel type person. And he's come back, so allegedly with a new attitude. We will see how that goes. He was kind of a polarizing figure back in the day because he just kind of took himself way too seriously and was kind of a jerk to everyone behind the scenes. But we'll see if he's some time away has done his attitude well. And if it has, you know, good on him. You know, if he's got the wrestling bug again and he's cool with everyone, you know, let's do it. Like, if he can, especially if he can still go in the ring, let's go. On the other hand, speaking of sabbaticals, Josh Alexander retired briefly due to injury, and he's really kind of come back and set the independent scene kind of on fire with his run in Impact Wrestling, where he's the X Division champion. What this will mean for tonight, I don't know, but they're bringing in some people with name value, so good on Global Syndicate to be able to do that. That being said, this is a number one contenders match. The winner of this match will be taking on your champion, ya boy, Alexander Hammerstone, at some date in the near future. This match really starts off to be a wrestling clinic, as to be expected. They're really going forth, exchanging the holds, going back and forth, really like nobody coming out properly on top. But we do get to see like hints of aggression on everybody's faces. Like there's some intensity going on there. Richards finally gets some advantage by using the ropes, starting to work over the arm, which, you know, it took some cheating to get some advantages, but, you know, cheating only works, you know, it really doesn't affect anything. If you're not going to get DQ'd and you get the winner's share of the purse, that's the important thing, I guess. Alexander, though, strikes and just makes Richards angry in the process. So they trade strikes back and forth before Richards goes back to the arm. So, you know, if you're going to lose that strike battle, you know, go back to what was working. That was submissions on that arm. Alexander does roll through an armbar into the ankle lock, but really his arm is too hurt to really sink it in proper. Alexander takes Richards outside, run into the ring, some chops, and brings Richards back inside the ring, gets control for a bit. Alexander is focusing his attacks on Richards' leg. So we have one gentleman forcing holds on a leg, and the other working over the arm. Richards does get to lock in the figure four, which was an interesting strategy again, because Richards was the one working over Alexander's arm, and his leg's kind of mummed up, so he can't really get all the pressure he needs to force the submission, which Alexander ends up flipping the hold, reversing the polarity, you know, reversing the pressure. Richards gets the rope, so they have to break that hold. That just kind of serves to kind of like start waking up the beasts in both competitors. We get strikes in the center of the ring going back and forth. Richards fights through the pain to jump about like an idiot. It's a big dragon screw into the rope. And here's where things kind of like break down and start taking me out a little bit out of the suspension of disbelief. Just a sidebar. Like one of the like the little things that like I do dislike about like some wrestling is like we're working over a body part and then when it's time for your comeback, you know, everything magically is okay. Especially when we come up to here, here in a minute. So we'll get a trailer hitch locked on Alexander. We get the rope break. Again, like this is a move that focuses on the knees and you need your legs to work it. And Richards is the one with the bum knee. Richards starts throwing kicks in the corner. And again, like I will say, like, despite everything, like Richards is at least like slapping his knee, like trying to get the feeling back into it and like does like rub it in between the moves. But like, it's still just like, oh, my knee's hurt. I better slap it. Okay, I'm going to run across the ring now, or I'm going to throw these kicks. Like, I mean, that doesn't always work for me. And at least he's bothering to acknowledge the pain in the knee as he does stuff. Like, there's definitely more egregious cases where people are, you know, limping and then hitting a 450. And I'm like, the hell? What's going on with that? But commentary does try to kind of cover for this, noting that, like, sometimes if you just smack the body part enough, or enough damage done to it, it'll either go numb, or on the flip side, like, if you get really pumped up, your adrenaline's going, and so you don't feel it quite so much, which, you know, that I feel like that one's a little bit better, so good attempts to at least cover that on commentary. Alexander takes to the top rope. Sidebar aside, goes to the top rope, hits a diving knee to Richards' head. He gets a two count for that. Richards rolls through the trifecta of German suplexes into an ankle lock. Alexander rolls through that ankle lock to lock in one of his own, which Richards then counters into a sharpshooter. We get a pinfall attempt. The bell rings after a two count, so there's some confusion in the ring what's going on because the ref like acknowledges that this was two, it wasn't three. But we get the announcement that this is a 20-minute time limit draw. And the crowd isn't terribly happy with this. And I will say this is not as egregious as it could be because tonight the ring announcer is announcing time limits prior to the match. So you do have half an idea of like how long a match could be. But just another little pet peeve thing. And this one's more, you know, on the company or just wrestling in general. But if you're going to really enforce the time limits, I feel like you should at least acknowledge, the passage of time during a match. Like, you don't need to do a countdown at the end, but just, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes elapse, just a brief announcement just to let everyone know. I feel like that kind of helps brace everything and play into the suspension of, not suspension of disbelief, but just, you know, how you feel about the match. Like, oh no, we have the suspense. Is the match going to end soon? Or is there going to be a definitive winner before time expires? And we didn't get any of that, which, I mean, in terms of wrestling sins, I mean, it's not super high. But I feel like that's kind of like one way around, like the surprise time limit draw being a thing. So the crowd, you know, doesn't quite poop on it as much as they could or usually do in these situations, though we do get a 5 more minutes chant. Alexander gets on the mic, kind of placates the crowd, really puts over Richards as someone he's looked up to in the past, and that Alexander himself has worked very hard to get where he is and get the opportunity to wrestle someone like Richards, he won't do in the future. Yo-ya. You know, I don't know what a yo-ya is, but he comes out to terrible music. He wrestles in just plain black tights, so I hate him already. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to, but I just don't like the guy now. So, go get him, Gio. But evidently, Yo-Yo is another young lion here to, you know, push the next generation of professional wrestlers. Early on, Gio really tries to get his hands on and sustain some offense against Yo-Yo. And Yo-Yo has an answer for pretty much everything Gio does up until, Yo-Yo hits a big dropkick and kind of allows himself to take over on offense. Yo-Yo is focusing on the legs with strikes. Again, just has an answer for everything that Gio does. Eventually, though, Gio kind of flips over and starts striking. Hits a one-legged Samoa drop, which looked gnarly, just because you don't see those terribly often. And some neat selling for the leg. Yo-Yo super kicks an airborne Gio. But this flurry of offense doesn't last long. We get a top rope bulldog and a big knee strike, and your champion is still Gio Galvano. Good on him. an easier night than the previous night, but, you know, not everybody is the kind of competitor that Austin Aries is. So, you know, kind of, well, I don't want to say it's a night off because Yo-Yo spent most of the night on the offensive. But, you know, he didn't have to go 20 minutes with Austin Aries, so, you know, moral victory on that. After the match, there is a wild Robert Martyr on the stage. He points to the title belt, and I'm guessing that's a challenge, because that's kind of how challenges go in the world of professional wrestling. But, you know, Mr. Martyr, if I may address you as such, Robert, challenges work a lot better when you win your matches. Just gonna throw that out there. You lost the night before to one Jacob Fatu. And yes, I know Jacob Fatu is like three times your size, and you did bring the fight to him for a little bit. But like, you didn't win. I don't think that puts you anywhere near the top contenders, man. But, you know, what do I know? I'm just a 35-year-old man that just hangs out in his parents' basement, yells things into a microphone. So, whatever. Speaking of yelling things in the microphone, getting hoarse, we should take a brief pause for the cause, get the plugs in, you know, buy some energy drinks and whatnot, you know, listen to Anchor FM and that plug there, make your own podcast, make one that's better than mine, setting the bar high. Anyway, I'll be back in a moment.
Now, whether you're someone who works out, or, like me, needs to maintain focus and mental clarity, we could all use a pick-me-up. That's where Raise Energy steps in. With Refresh technology, Raise provides a hydrating, sugar-free boost of energy without the crash some other energy drinks have. You can find out where you can get Raise Energy near you by visiting www.repsports.com, and while you're there, check out the other products that Rep offers, such as pre- and post-workout supplements and snacks. And if you want some extra savings, order online and apply my discount code CASS, that's C-A-S-S, at checkout for 15% off your order.
All right, we are back and we get tag team action. We have the Dynasty taking on the team of Donovan and Anthony Gargone. Just for the record, Anthony Gargone is one guy, and then another guy is named Donovan. When I first heard how the names were set up, I totally thought they were brothers, and it was Donovan and Anthony Gargone. But they probably should have flipped it and just went like Anthony Gargone and Donovan. Anyway, you know, whatever. We has match. That's the important thing. We have a match to call. Evidently, Gargone and Donovan are two journeyman wrestlers who've been just put together as a random pairing fairly recently and just really seemed to gel as a tag team and started tearing up the ranks of your GSW. And we got a big match for them tonight, probably the biggest match of their young career, really, as a team anyway, taking on a well-oiled machine of the Dynasty. And the story of this match is basically that Richard Holiday wants to learn how to be a babyface. He wants to learn how to wrestle like a good guy. So he's putting in some of the work, trying to emulate your boy Hammer. And poor man. He's not always successful. But we'll get to that in a moment. Donovan and Hammerstone start off. Donovan just like cheap shots off a chest of strength. Makes Hammer angry. Hammer tosses some round tags into Holiday. Holiday tries to be the babyface. My favorite little part of this is Holiday tags in. Hammer goes for an abdominal stretch, which leads to like a slap or a kick to the opponent, which is still technically cheating, but you know, slightly more allowable. But Holiday comes in and just pokes Donovan right in the eye, and like, everybody's like, "Dude." He's like, "Oh no, I'm sorry, it's still new to me." But due to all these shenanigans, Anthony Gargone comes in. Evidently, he's recovered from COVID, so good on him. But unfortunately, this opens the door for Austin Aries to spout his asinine opinions about COVID, and just takes me out of the moment on there. Like, I'm just sidebarring again. This is my podcast. I'll sidebar a lot. You know, I'm prone to my soapboxes, and you know. This is wrestling. This is our fantasy land. This is our escape from real life. And I know they throw, like, wrestling will throw in storylines that are, you know, or little events that are, you know, plays off of the news. But I really feel like something that's as polarizing and potentially serious as COVID is just not the place for wrestling to kind of step in and make your snide little comments. And this has come from like a guy, obviously, who's very sarcastic, you know, and willing to just say stupid things. But I definitely like, yeah, I don't think COVID is one of those things to be like trying to politicize like in wrestling. And basically his initial comment is like, "Oh, he's vaccinated, but got the thing anyway. So what's the point of vaccination?" And then he just kind of like moved on. And this isn't like the first comment Aries will make tonight on commentary. So it's that one kind of made me cringe. Just again, like, it doesn't matter. I really don't care what your opinion is, but like, I don't feel like the commentary booth in a professional wrestling event is the place to get on any like IRL soapboxes. Save it for your podcast or your book or, you know, whatever. But commentary is probably not the place to be doing that. Anyway, going back to the match, we do have a match still going on. Gargoni and Donovan take over on Holiday, doing a lot of tandem offense and a lot of cheating, too, which I think is interesting since Holiday's trying so very, very hard to be a babyface, but it's just not working. Eventually, though, Holiday gets the hot tag to Hammer. Hammer comes in and gets beat down for a bit. But luckily, he's been watching his videos of Hulk Hogan in 1991, getting that tan, saying his prayers, taking those vitamins, and he hammers up. But before he can finish his bout of offense there, Holiday tags himself in attempts to Holiday up, with lesser results, because he gets a pump kick to the back of his head. And things just pretty much break down from there. You know, all four men are battling around. Donovan takes a Hammer outside the ring. Gargoni hits Holiday with a low blow and a roll up for the 1-2-3. Donovan and Gargone have like probably the biggest victory of their career, honestly, against the Dynasty. And I totally blame the white meat baby face that is Richard Holiday, because he's still new to this kind of thing. Afterwards, a disappointed Hammerstone gets the microphone, says he's going to give Holiday one more chance to redeem himself, and this is by posing down. So, members of the Dynasty do the Hulk Hogan poses in the ring, or at least Holiday does the best he can, but his junk hurts, so he's kind of, you know, like, kind of haunched as he, you know, does all those big muscular poses. But otherwise, a rather fun match. I think this one was just more for the live crowd. But it was just kind of fun to see Holiday try to work baby in a very meta way. But, you know, that was what it was. Coming up next, we have a match for the Dream Openweight Championship. The champion is Wrecking Ball Ligurski, who we saw the previous evening, taking on Impact Superstar, the wrestling god, Moose. We have a video package featuring the two gentlemen cutting promos on each other, but ultimately this is just going to be a big beefy boy battle, so it should be a lot of fun potentially. Saw some of Ligurski's work last night, and so like he's a decent enough big man. And then those of us who've seen Moose, like, no, he's a football player. He's got some explosive power and agility going for him there as well. And Moose himself has slimmed down a bit, but still built at over 300 pounds. So we should see how that goes with someone who's the size of Wrecking Ball Ligurski. As the match starts, we don't get any respect to Ligurski. In fact, Moose gives him the double birds before we get the match started. Moose tries to start a power game with lots of shoulder tackles that do absolutely nothing to Ligurski. But whenever Ligurski starts a shoulder tackle, he makes it a point to take Moose down. We go outside the ring, lots of strikes by the Wrecking Ball. Moose chops a quarter post trying to make a comeback, hurts his hand. Wrecking Ball is now very hungry because it's a lot of work doing shoulder tackles and taking shoulder tackles, and just chews on Moose's hand for a moment. Moose then reverses an Irish whip into the wall. Unfortunately, Wrecking Ball did not go through the wall like the Kool-Aid Man, so now, like, totally out of the match. How can you be a Wrecking Ball and not just crash through the wall when Irish whipped? So, like, I am thoroughly disappointed. I want my $0 back. Watch this thing. You're just flipping the metaphorical table, stomping around the ring, and complaining on the internet. Anyway, as Other Me is complaining about things, we still have a match going on. Inside the ring, Wrecking Ball reverses a suplex, but he can't maintain this momentum. Though he does make another comeback with a big power slam for two, tries to hit a power bomb, but just can't get Moose up. Moose finally gets his shoulder tackle in, just took him long enough. Moose goes for what could maybe a Hurricane Rana, not sure really what he's doing, but it ends up being the variation of a pop-up sit-out powerbomb for a two count. Totally lost my train of thought because I'm trying to call things like an auctioneer. Wrecking Ball goes up to the middle rope, but Moose recovers and hits a big choke bomb for two. That was kind of nifty to see. I haven't seen one done quite like that, and you know, I will say I am a fan. But only a two count. Ligurski gets control again, slams Moose down. He's gonna go for the Vader bomb. Moose gets up though and hits a big low blow blatantly in front of the referee as Wrecking Ball goes up the ropes. Ref calls for the DQ. Your champion retains the title, and Moose just doesn't care at all about his loss throughout the match. Solid two big men going through, and then we kind of got the cheap DQ finish, but whatever, you know. Dick Punch City is a thing, and its population, Wrecking Ball. Again, I'm more upset by the fact that he didn't crash through the wall when he got Irish whipped, so, you know, gonna stand on that hill until I'm killed on it. After this championship match, Jacob Fatu comes out. He does not have a match this evening, and it looks like he might be ready for one, though. He comes out and cuts a DJ Hyde-style promo, and for those of you who didn't understand the snark, it just means it was filled with profanity for the sake of profanity. He ultimately, though, just is issuing an open challenge to anyone in the locker room, and it gets accepted by Austin Aries at the commentary booth. Aries comes to the ring, accepts the challenge. Fatu's like, yeah, don't want none now. Walks off, and Aries comes back to commentary to finish out his duties for the evening. So it looks like in the near future, we have Jacob Fatu taking on Austin Aries. All right, it is now time for our main event of the evening. It is for the Global Syndicate Wrestling Women's Championship with Allison Kay, AK-47, taking on Masha Slamovich. Both women had tournament matches the previous evening to make way to this finals main event match. And both women have beef with each other, so we are, you know, going to have a fun little match on our hands. Oh, it started already. As Kay was coming out on the stage, Masha attacks her from behind, and we just get a big freaking brawl. Like, a big, delicious brawl outside the ring. Both competitors just back and forth, just clubbing each other and tossing each other around. People in the front row aren't in the front row anymore as both competitors just try to demolish each other. The bell has not rang yet, so, like, the match hasn't even officially started. The ref's not throwing anything out. They're just, you know, just keep on keeping on. And luckily for everyone else, though, it is thoroughly entertaining. Kay tries to make use of things around the ring. She gets a fan's umbrella to try to do, like, a trick shot a la the Penguin from Batman. Unfortunately, that umbrella is too short, so it just kind of opens and misses the mark. Masha gets some cheap shots in. Kay hits Masha with a trash can. Masha does take over some chops and chokes. Several variations of the choke, no choke is technically legal, but they refer to, like, front face locks and guillotines as chokes instead of just the traditional supervillain type of choking. But yeah, so, I mean, again, like, just a crazy flipping brawl out of the ring. Kay gets a hold of Austin Aries' book. She, like, flips the pages of the book in Masha's face, threatening to paper cut her. Unfortunately, the jawjacking does not pay off, and Masha hits a big DDT on an open chair. Chair is heavily padded, but, you know, like, that's an awkward angle and you can jam up your neck, so, I mean, I'm not gonna poo-poo that either. Kay tries to suffocate Kay with a bag. This leads Austin Aries to make some masks jokes because he's anti-mask. Kay and Masha roll through the ring, but not long enough to stay in the ring really at all. They just keep on rolling. So no bell yet. Aries is demanding a falls count anywhere match, which probably should. Kay chops Masha quite a bit outside the ring, but no match yet. Finally, both women enter the ring, stay in the ring for a bit. We get the bell. We finally have a match for the women's championship. Masha fish hooks Kay around the ring, gets a hold of a plastic bag and suffocates her for revenge for earlier. We finally, after all these shenanigans, start getting a proper wrestling match where both women are going for submission holds and working over body parts. Get a Yoshi tonic for two by Masha. Not enough to keep Kay down, though. Kay, you know, does a Samoan, puts a drop lift, shoulder lift, just hangs Masha up on her shoulders and just dumps her outside the ring onto the stage. Masha goes for a pile driver on the stage, but it gets countered by through a back body drop. Kay, back inside the ring, goes for the Kimura, Masha rolls through it and hits a bunch of DOS stomps. In the process of all this stuff, we get a big tornado bomb from Masha. But since she's not getting the job done, she's starting to show her frustration. She goes outside and gets the ring bell and the women's championship. The ref is having none of this and yoinks the ring bell. But while she's distracted with the ring bell, Masha still has the women's title in hand and clobbers Kay with it. Gets the pinfall. Ref turns around to see the pinfall. 1, 2, 3. Your women's champion. Your inaugural women's champion, Masha Slamovich. And ladies and gentlemen, this match was the cray cray. Very much a main event worthy match. This is like 1980s Bruiser Brody style brawling outside the ring for most of it. And usually, like, I have something snarky to say about, like, a match that wasn't a match forever and, like, the ref not doing anything. And you know what? These women brought it tonight. So I'm glad the ref didn't assert her authority and we just had this big fight. Must be a winner championship match for the main event of this show. So that is the show for the evening. I will say, it wasn't quite as consistent as the previous night's show, but the highs were much higher. I felt like the very much the high points were Davey Richards and Josh Alexander, and then the main event were just clinics in two various forms. I mean, Richards and Alexander was a wrestling clinic, and then the main event women's match were just this massive brawl. I had fun during the Dynasty match just because of some of the shtick involved. But, you know, the other matches were what they were for the most part. Still not completely sold on the Wrecking Ball. The opener was a solid opener. And just for something different, like, kind of weird seeing like three MMA people going at it against each other. But I definitely felt like the highs were much higher this match, this card compared to previous night's card, where it was like everything was at least solid the night before, but not necessarily spectacular. Whereas tonight just had two like super awesome matches that I was thoroughly entertained by. But luckily this is on YouTube, so you guys can all see it too if you haven't already. Global Syndicate Wrestling, Global Festival, this one's night two. Good show overall, though. Really no complaints outside of the ones I kind of outlined already. But, you know, it's always easier to say bad things, to pick things apart, than to praise them. So, yeah, it does sound like I did get nitpicky a couple times. But really, like, overall, I still had a great time watching it. And, they've really impressed me with this two-night showing. And I'm probably going to, like, add their YouTube show into my regular rotation of wrestling just to see how the company does and just how they're going to follow up with this. So, fun. Piggybacking off of this, again, like, this is not the usual. You know, obviously, my show is called MLW Confusion, usually focusing on Major League Wrestling. But, you know, this is a special occasion because I got offered, I'll just throw it out there, that I got offered a commission. And, you know, I can be bribed to review your show, but I'm not necessarily going to give it a perfect, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat anything if I'm not a fan of something. So, you know, you can buy my attention, but you can't buy my adulation. Just for the record on that. But yeah, so if you guys would like me to just check out your show, maybe even give it a review, you know, get in contact with me, use the social media, though business dealings, I would prefer you go through my email, but you know, any port in a storm, I'll have all that contact information, in the episode descriptors. And so kind of speaking of the descriptors, let's just wind things down, close up the show. Thank you all for paying attention to me, and thank you for Global Syndicate Wrestling for giving me the opportunity to check out your show. Pretty good shows overall, man. Thoroughly enjoyed them both. And otherwise, I will see you all next time. Thank you for listening to MLW Confusion. MLW Confusion is written and narrated by Rob Kammer, but is not affiliated with Major League Wrestling. The opening theme is written and performed by Rob Kammer, and what you are listening to right now is Ruined My Day by Alan L. Schroeder. If you enjoyed the show, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. Also, be sure to tell your friends, family, and enemies about the show. Word of mouth is very important to us small businesses. You can also get up to date with the thoughts and ramblings at the social media at the links in the description. If you'd like to support monetarily and help out, and to upgrade our equipment too, by the way, you can in the following ways. First, our virtual tip jar is at www.ko-fi.com/casanova. That is CASSONOVA. Or, for more bang for your buck, join our Patreon at www.patreon.com/casanova. For as little as $1 a month, you can get access to MLW Confusion early and ad-free, plus get weekly exclusive goodies. So be like the OGs, Maverick45 and Alan Schroeder, and check that out! Also, for your energy, sleep, and workout needs, check out repsports.com and use the coupon code CASS at checkout to get 15% off your order.